Amen. All right, if you would turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. He was talking about the book of wisdom a while ago. Proverbs is full of wisdom. And it's really easy to understand. And I read it a lot. And it's really a blessing to me every time I read it. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Pastor, for inviting me to come. And thank you for being so faithful all these years. We appreciate your ministry and your love for the Lord. And you know, all these graduates that finished the college, you know, the enemy will attack you and fight you every inch of the way because he don't want people to go out and spread the gospel. He'll fight you tooth and nail, but you just keep right on fighting that spiritual fight. Amen. Proverbs 16, verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Now I want you to notice those two words, shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're always in our midst, Lord. And we thank you for divine guidance. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, that's such a wonderful Savior to our lives, Lord, and a comfort and a help all through these problems we deal with in life. Now, Father, I ask your blessings upon this service, upon this ministry, and upon the people in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. In other words, he'll live in victory if you trust the Lord. But now listen, I want you to listen to that real good. He that handleth a matter wisely. Now one translation says this. See, I was reading from the King James Version. But the Amplified says this. He who deals wisely and heeds God's word and counsel shall find good, and whoso ever leans and trusts in him and is confident in the Lord, happy is he, blessed and fortunate is he. In your life, you have plenty of opportunity to deal with problems. If you live another day, you're going to run into some problems. I mean, every week you run into all kinds of issues. You know, most of them are something you've already dealt with before. But you're always dealing with problems. If you work a public job, you're dealing with people around you. If you run a business, you're dealing with people. If there's more than two people in your family, you'll have problems from time to time. Just two. All you need is two. You and somebody else. But he that handles a matter wisely shall find good. What is it we want in life? Good. We want to find good. Well, he said to find good, you have to handle a matter wisely. And to do that, you get counsel from the Word of God, you get counsel from the Holy Spirit, and you don't do it from your emotions or your mind. Now, anytime you run up with a problem, the first thing you think of, the first thing that comes to your mind is, it's not this. Well, I'm going to handle this wisely. That's not the first thing you think of. That is not the first words that come to your mind. You can be going down the road and somebody come up behind you, blowing the horn in a hurry and give you a finger, a hand or something. You do not think, well, I'm going to handle this wisely. That's not your first reaction. But the Bible says, he that handles a matter wisely shall find good. Now, the reason for this, if you get in an argument or a fight with somebody, that can linger all day long. And it can also cause a lot of problems. You know, if you get in a fight and get sent to jail, it could cost you $5,000 to hire a lawyer to get you out of your trouble. Just a few minutes problem. You understand? Just a few minutes problem could cost you a lot of money and cause you a lot of problems. But if you want to find good out of any situation, you're going to have to handle it wisely. And so therefore, sometimes you need to go off in another room by yourself and let your emotions drain down. If you have to, let them lock you up in a room. lock you up in there for about 3 days, come back and say, you calmed down now, you cooled off now, and didn't let you out of the room. How about that? And there are some people need to be locked up in a room for about 3 days. I used to be that way because I didn't know how to handle something wisely. I handled it with my emotions. I handled it with my anger. I handled it with rage or whatever. You see, then it just created more problems in my life. You know, see, because a lot of times people will do things and it's not intentional, nor is it trying to harm you. They're just not thinking. They're not thinking, you know, and they're like robots walking around in a daze all day long. And you see, if you're not careful, you can get in a conflict with them and it can cause you a lot of problems. Or you have this other extreme where some people are anointed by the devil to create strife. And the devil will try to create strife in your life. And if you handle it the way they're handling it, you will not go find good. And so here's the thing about it. The Bible says pride comes before the fall. Pride will rise up. I'm listening, somebody come along and bump into you and, hey, watch where you're going. Watch where you're going. You see, if you're not careful, pride will rise up. And you'll start a word fight. And you're not going to find good out of it. You never do. You walk away and you say, well, why did I say that? I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have done that. And you'll feel bad because your heart will condemn you. Your heart will condemn you. And you walk around all day long just a 1 minute word fight with somebody can cause you to walk out of the house, you know, and all day long something's on your mind. Pride comes. See, pride always rises up now. If you're living in a body, If you have a body, pride will always rise up. I don't care who you are, how big you are, how short you are, how tall you are. Pride will rise up. See, they ain't going to get away with this. I ain't going to let them get away with it. See, that's your first reaction. Have you ever had somebody do something, you start to walk off in your mind and say, you don't know how to walk away from that. You don't say something. They need to hear something. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. You think, yeah, they do need to hear it. But not from your emotions. You understand? Because it'll cause it to get worse. Now, back about a month ago, I was in a restaurant. And this waitress was about to take my order, and somebody told her she had a phone call. So she went to the phone. I could hear her over there talking. And she said, you ought to know where the shoes are. That was her husband. She had to go to work before he did, and he had to carry the child to daycare, and he couldn't find the shoes. So he called her up, and she said, you ought to know where them shoes are, and slammed the phone down. She came back where I was at, and then in about 5 minutes, it rang again. She went back to the phone, and she said, listen, you dummy, you know, y'all, look around there, you can find them shoes, and hung it up again. Well, in about 5 more minutes, he called back again. Said, and then she said, listen, don't call me again. Hung it down. And I said to myself, well, you're not going to find good when you get home. You understand? Because she didn't handle it wisely. Now look, she was sitting there fixing to take my order. And she said, you know what? I left those shoes in the trunk of my car. You understand? See, had she handled it wisely, she would have said, well, let me think about it, and I'll call you back in a few minutes. Now, he was in a hurry on the other end because he had to get to work. But do you understand? That's what the Bible says. He that handles a matter wisely, not with your emotions, but wisely, through the wisdom of God. He that takes counsel with God. He that takes counsel with the Holy Spirit. He that gets wisdom from God. That's the way you're to handle problems, and not with your mind and your emotions. But you're only this close from switching from your spirit to your emotions. I mean, any day. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you fast. I don't care how much you dedicate yourself, you only this close to yielding your emotions. I mean, you can get one of the best services in a church service and walk out that door and go eat lunch and somebody say something or look at you the wrong way or do something, and if you're not careful, you'll switch from your spirit to your emotions that quick. See, emotions are a good thing. You know, I enjoy, I look with my eyes, I hear with my ears, I feel, I get a wonderful feeling and draw from people, you know. You get emotionally involved with people as you're talking, conversations. But your emotions can turn bad real quick, because you're just hooked up to the flesh realm. You see, so that quick, you can switch. And that's the reason it says, he that deals wisely and heeds. And you say to yourself, well, I'm not going to say that. All right, Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Verse 24, pleasant words are his honeycombs. He said a wise person will teach his mouth. In other words, I'm responsible for my own mouth. Nobody can take over my mouth. I'm responsible for it. Now, your emotions can take over your mouth. But it says a wise person will teach his mouth and add learning to his lips. I used to live close to my cousins. They lived next door to me. And one of them, he was about 8 or 9 years old. You know, we were around his mother. And he let an ugly word slip out. More she went over there and smacked him upside the head. She said, "Boy, don't you have any learning?" That's what must have been where she got that. She added learning to his lips real quick. Well, he did learn. He learned not to talk like that around her. And when we'd leave her, he'd start back with his ugly mouth. He had some ugly mouth. But he that is wise in heart will teach his mouth. In other words, there are times when you're going to have to say to yourself, I'm not going to say that. I'm just not going to say it. Why? Because you're not in a mood to talk about it right now. You got to calm down. You got to think about it. Because what's the objective of the situation? You want to find good, right? You want to find good out of a bad situation. And the only time to find good is when you've got the counsel of God in your own heart, when you get counsel from the Lord, when you listen to your own heart, when you listen to the wisdom of God. Because if you yield to your emotions, listen, I used to get a lot of whiffings because mom and dad didn't take counsel to nothing. They grabbed a board and stick and whatever and spoon, anything, and just start beating on you real quick. But it didn't do me any good. You know why? Because they did not handle it in the right way. They didn't sit down and talk to me and instruct me the way they ought to. We didn't go to church, you know. They didn't instruct me and talk to me and tell me why I shouldn't do it the way I should have done it. You know the way they do it? They said, "Son, I said not do it." "Well, why not?" "Because I said so. That's why." That's all you need. That was it. And they were right about what they were saying, but it didn't make you feel good because they wouldn't explain to you why you shouldn't have done it that way. You understand? It's like Daddy, he bought his old wore-out lawnmowers. I mean, I think he got them out of the garbage can and half repaired them. And he'd say, "Son, cut the grass." And he said, "It better be cut before I get back home, too, when I get back home." And I'd try to crank that thing and try my best to crank that thing. Couldn't get it cranked. And he'd come back and spank me. And I said, "Dad, I can't get the old wore out." "Ah, it ain't the lawnmower's fault." "Yeah, it was the lawnmower's fault. Because I tried." And he'd spank me. And then he was a grown man, you know, he could get it cranked. And you know what I did? I resented him for it. Because he didn't handle it the right way. And I got angry with him, mad with him, and resented him for it. Started building up anger. He was an alcoholic anyway, you know, and that made it worse. Violent alcoholic and curse at you and beat you and everything else. You see, instead of growing up loving your father, you grow up resenting him. See, he that handles the matter wisely, don't just holler at somebody. Explain to them why they shouldn't do it that way. Now, I do believe in spanking kids because Proverbs talks about sparing the rod, you know, but you should do it in the right way. And spankings don't work in every case. You know, there are other ways you can discipline kids. There are other things. You know, some kids don't mind to be spanked, and it ain't going to do them any good if you do. But you can take something they enjoy doing away from them, and that'll get their attention. laying all jokes aside, I probably got 1,000 whippings or more in my life. I probably got that many in school. Just in school by itself. Your neighbors used to whip you. Grandpa whipped you. Grandma whipped me. Everybody whipped me. And then I'd get in fights with the kids at school. I didn't handle life early in a wise way, I'll tell you that right now. I'm glad I got born again at 19 and a half year old. Because I begin to realize, you know, I'm dealing with life in the wrong way. I'm handling it the wrong way. It ain't going to work. You won't find good going around drinking and carrying on and doing all these things. You're not going to find good if you handle life in the wrong way. You see, in the same way when you talk to somebody, you cannot talk to them in an ugly way and expect good to come out of it. You just can't do it. Now, he said this. He says, he said, pleasant words are as honeycombs. They're sweet to the soul and health to the bones. They bring health to us. You see, your job will go better. Life will go better. Dealing with problems will go better if you learn to talk in the right way. Now, flip on back to Proverbs 15:1 here. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And then, you know, if you go to verse 2, it says that the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. It uses knowledge the right way. It uses its words the right way. You see, if I speak grievous words at somebody and try to hurt them and cut them and say something that penetrates down into their heart, you see, that'll stir up wrath and anger. It'll stir up resentment. And see, there are a lot of people that don't know how to talk without a grievous word through in there. And it keeps you apart from somebody. You know, there are a lot of people you'd like to fellowship with, but you can't. Because they always got to throw some grievous comment in there. Got to say something to belittle you or say something to put you down or say something, you know. And you know they're not doing it in a constructive way. You know, your mother and daddy will do it to try to help you, to correct you and all that. But there are people that just speak words and they speak it in such a harsh way. And it may be right what they're saying, but the way they say it, you know, you can borrow the car tonight. Yeah, I said you could. You can buy it. I said you could. Well, you're saying the right things, but you're saying it in the wrong way. You understand? So he said the heart of the wise will use knowledge in the right way. And I want to say this, none of us are perfect, none of us are going to be perfect, and all of us are going to say something sometimes. But what he's talking about is a lifestyle, the way you live on a daily basis. You know, if you live a relatively, use your words correctly and your lifestyle, you know, and if you have a bad day, they just overlook that. But if you do it on a regular basis, that's what they don't overlook. You see. You know, Proverbs goes on and says, he that has friends must show himself friendly. I don't wait for somebody to be friendly to me. I'm friendly to them first. I speak to a lot of people all week long. And they may or may not speak back, but that's the way you find friends and you run up with friends. You get to know people. Now turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. And then I'm going to read verse 26. You know, I don't care what kind of gifts and talents you have. If you have an ugly spirit, it will not do you any good. And here in James chapter 1, verse 26, he says this. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. See, I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how much you pray. I don't care how much you study. I don't care how dedicated you are to God. If you don't bridle your tongue, your religion will be in vain. James says that. Because I'm a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, anointed by God, just like Brother Gary. Brother Gary and Sister Price are anointed by God. But if somebody sees me talking ugly to my wife, they ain't going to receive from me. See, my religion would be in vain as far as helping anybody. And then if you talk ugly enough, you might end up divorcing. You understand? And then, you know, people do divorce for all kinds of reasons. But most of the time, it's because people don't handle things correctly. Now, there are some people just sorry dogs. You married a dog, and he's going to be that way the rest of his life because he ain't changed his habits yet. You understand? You can't make it work. So you have to have somebody to work with you. You have to find somebody to work with you. If you stay married 45 years, you had to have somebody that wanted to stay married and wanted somebody who wanted to work with you. You have to have somebody. You see, so you do have to have a working relationship with somebody. But if you talk ugly to somebody on a daily basis, especially, I don't care who it is. After a while, they're not going to come around you. You know, it's like a dog. A dog, one of the first things, if you get out of the car and he's loose out there, he'll come running out to you and he wants to jump all over you. Wants you to pet him on the head. He'll lick you all over in the face. And if you pet him, you know what to do? He'll keep coming back. When you open that door, as soon as you open that door, your car, he'll take off out of you to be petted. But did you know if you slap him upside the head? He may come back tomorrow, but you slap him again upside the head. Even a dog knows better than come back. He said, I don't want to go around that old grouchy human being. Well, it's the same way with a person. If I slap somebody with a grievous word, if I speak a grievous word to them every time they're around me, after a while, you know what? I'm marching down the road and I see them walking around this way. You know, you're going down the street and you see them cross the street and get on the other side. They're trying to avoid you. They don't want to be around you. You see, so if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, you have to bridle your tongue. I can tell you, I wish I had learned that earlier in my life. I wish I'd had somebody to teach me and instruct me in my earlier days. You know, even though I got born again, I didn't have anybody for years to help me with the Bible. Nobody I seemed like I run up with that really understood what I needed in my life. I needed to control this right here, my tongue. Because, you know, when you grow up in an alcoholic home and he's cursing and ranting and raving, you don't learn the right things. You learn the same thing your daddy did. That's what you learn. And I started becoming just like my daddy until I got born again. And then I realized, I can't talk ugly to people and expect them to like me. I can't talk to my boss man in an ugly way and not expect to get fired. He that handles a matter wisely. You know, he ain't going to tell me what he should. He's your boss. You know what a boss is. He's a man who is paid to make people work who have been paid to do that work. That's what a boss is. People are paid to work and they won't work sometimes. Now, the NIV version says this: those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive their own hearts, and their religion is worthless. Now, it doesn't mean they're not born again, because James is talking to believers. But it just means their life, as far as their life's concerned, they're not really effective. Because there's always a right and wrong way to talk to people. Even if they're wrong, there's still a right way to do it. And then I want to say this. You cannot get along with everybody. There are some people you just are not going to get along with. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. You'll never get along with them because they're just so cantankerous. You can't get along with them. And you'll have to avoid them. I've got all kinds of friends in my life. Some I like to be with for a couple hours. I got some I like to be with 4 hours. I got some I like to be with 7 hours a day. I got some I could be with every day of my life, and we just get along. And that's the truth. We get along. We never argue, never fight, never get in word fights, nothing. I mean, we could be with each other every day. But you have to have a limit on certain people. There are certain situations you just cannot be with them but an hour. If you go 1 hour and 1 minute, you're going to get to arguing. Because that one extra minute, they're going to start picking or poking at something. You understand? So you have to know your limitations with people. It's not that they're not good people. They may be good people. They may have a loving heart. But they don't know how to bridle their tongue. And they're going to get you in a word fight or get you talking about things you ought not to talk about or get you in unbelief or get you in doubt. You understand? They don't know how to bridle their tongue. They may not know how to use wisdom in the right way. I tell the story this way back probably 25 years ago. I was headed to a McDonald's or somewhere, and I sort of got an inward witness not to go there that morning, to go somewhere else. But you know, you're creatures of habit. If you're used to going to a certain place, you'll go there every day without thinking unless something changes it, your schedule. So I overrode the inward witness and went on in anyway, and there was a brother in there I knew, and he came over and started talking, and he said something. Well, back then, I said something back. He said something. I said something back. And so we got in a word fight, you know, and your faces turn red, your blood veins stick out, and you find yourself balling your fist up back there, you know, until you have to fight. And then I went away, and I felt bad all afternoon. I said, "What, man, I shouldn't have went in there." And then I heard the Holy Spirit said, "Yeah, you didn't take counsel to my wisdom." You see, God spoke to my heart in a real soft way. Don't go there this morning. But you know what? My emotions overrode the witness of God. It was stronger than my yielding, connecting to my spirit. It was stronger at that time. And my habits. Did you know it's hard to stop habits? Yeah. I mean, you have to work at it. If you get in a habit. Now listen. Most habits are fine. There's nothing wrong with them. You know, some people have a habit of picking their nose, you know, and you try to stop, and it's hard to do, you know, if you do it on a regular basis. But it's a habit. They don't even know they're doing it. You see, but, you know, that ain't going to end the world just because somebody picks their nose. Doesn't bother me. You got a nose. But I'm just saying habits, you don't even know you're doing them unless somebody points it out. You don't even know you got some habits. But you'll get in a routine, you'll do it every day. And there are a lot of good habits. I go to certain places and read my Bible and just meditate there, and it's a good thing. But don't ever let a habit or way you're doing things ever stop you from obeying the Holy Spirit. Because when He speaks, there's a reason for it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to understand it. Just obey God. Just obey Him. I was going down the interstate back about 4 years ago. And I was headed home from Nashville, North Carolina, I believe it was. Anyway, I was somewhere out in that area, Raleigh or somewhere. I was headed home. I was going down the interstate. I mean, you can run 70 miles an hour. I was going along, just enjoying, moving along. And I got a witness in my heart that I should turn off at somewhere along Lexington and go back through the country. And I was going along there. I thought, well, you know, that would just put me way out of the way. And just slower. And I thought, I looked around and everything looked all right with me. I was going to speed limit. You know, I said, well, I ain't going to get a speed ticket because I overrode that. I overrode it. I'm in Zoom and now just enjoying listening to a cassette tape. And all of a sudden I come up with a traffic jam. And you know, some of these bridges are 5 miles or 10 miles apart. And guess where I sit for the next almost a solid hour? Bumper to bumper to bumper. No way. They had a fence across the medium. You couldn't turn around. you couldn't get back. So I had to creep up. And then you know what I said? Lord, I repent. Oh, God. Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, God, forgive me. See, you're only this close from obeying your spirit or yielding to your mind and your emotions at all times. And I learned a lesson. I learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, I don't override it much anymore. And when I got to the next bridge, you know what I did? I took that bridge and took off and went down through the country. But I was late getting home, about 2 hours, you know. But had I listened to the Lord, I got home maybe 20 minutes longer. It was at the most. Now, I'm getting ready to close with this. James chapter 3, verse 2. James 3, verse 2. It says this, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able also to bridle his whole body. You cannot take control of your body without bridling your tongue. Now, I learned this a long time ago. You know, if you're about to get in an argument, if you will not say anything, you'll stop talking. Just don't talk. Maybe go in a room by yourself, go out walking, do whatever. Don't say anything. Because if you say something, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Once you let one word out or two words out, boy, you'll go at it. You won't stop. The only way to take control of your body is to take control of your words. And sometimes the best thing to do is don't say anything. Don't say anything. Then seek the Lord, pray it out real good, and then if the Lord gives you wisdom and advice on it, then you may go say something. Because you'll say it with the right spirit and the right attitude. And the whole purpose is to find good in a bad situation. Because most problems in life are self-created. Now, the devil will get in these problems, and if the devil can see a little doorway to get in, he'll come in and make it worse. And the devil's anointed. Now, listen, the devil's anointed to make it worse. You can take a simple problem, and he'll amplify it by 100 times or 15 or 20 times. It'll make that little problem way bigger than it ought to be. I mean, I've seen people fight over 5 cents at McDonald's. Just argue over 5 cents. And yet McDonald's will give you all the refills you want on your drink. Now, does that make sense? But Proverbs says pride comes. Pride comes. You can tell you my 5 cents. I'll tell you right now, I ain't stealing 5 cents from me. That is my 5 cents. It may be. But is it worth arguing over? Is it worth arguing over? Listen, there are some things just not worth arguing over. I would not waste my time arguing over some things. It's not worth. Now, spiritual things, you know, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to act on that. But there are just some things, and Jesus said, if a man smite you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. What's he saying? Don't get in a fight with him. He's basically saying, it's not worth it. Man steal your coat, give him another coat. Man, he's trying to talk you into, he said, walk another mile with him. But he didn't let mile get away from him. How about that? I'd walk away from that. In many things, we offend all. See, there are sometimes you may do something you didn't mean to offend them. You know, you may be in the shopping center and bump into somebody, and you turn around and you say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. But you offend somebody sometimes. Just, you never know what's going to offend people. Or you say something not exactly the way, you know, think, well, I could have worded it better, and you offend them. You didn't mean to do that. He says, in many things we offend people. But now look, but if any man offend not in word. You know, the greatest hurts in life are word offenses. Somebody speaking to you some unkind word at you. You know why? Because it'll linger down in your heart for years and years and years. I heard a man tell a story. He said that he wrote a real famous author a letter, and wrote to him, and the way he worded it, the guy didn't like him. He scratched through it and told him he was a dummy and sent it back to him. And he said that 10 years later, when they heard that man passed away, he said he was glad. And then he realized he'd been carrying that for 10 solid years. The man didn't even know it. But for 10 years in his own heart. Now that affects you, brother, when your heart can walk around and carry something in your heart like that. And he realized. But you see, that shows you the power of words. What words can do. Words can lift you up. He said, pleasant words are as honeycombs, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. But unkind, grievous words, all it does is stir up strife. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good to solve a problem that way. Now you may win whatever it is you're arguing about outwardly, but inwardly they'll resent you. And then you'll actually go off and resent yourself for doing it that way, for being that way, being unkind, because you'll feel bad about it. And then it eventually catches up with you anyway. You know why? Because there's a spiritual law. Whatsoever man soweth, that he's sowing, he'll reap. If he keeps sowing good seeds, he's going to reap good seeds. But if you sow bad seeds, those bad seeds will eventually come up. Thank the Lord for knowing that, because you can sow good seeds. That's a good law. It's a good spiritual law. I go around and sow good seeds. Does that mean you're perfect? No, it doesn't. But you try your best to do the best you can. And then you pray out and ask God to help you. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your divine guidance and help, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Lord, I ask your blessings upon this ministry, Lord, and upon the people of this church. Lord, help us all to take heed to the Holy Spirit on the inside of us and to the good Word of God. Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.